as it were, to picture in your mind's eye this scene before us this evening here from Exodus chapter 12. I'm sure you've often seen on your TV screens, and even presently you'll see it if you watch the reports from Israel and the war of Palestine, and you'll often see little shacks set out along the roadways and people living out of them. And that's the scene that is before us here in Exodus chapter 12. The children of Israel are being treated, as it were, as slaves. They're living, as it were, under the dictatorship of Pharaoh. They're living a life of misery and poverty, and they're living in these little shacks. And as it were, I want you to picture in your mind a father as he comes out to the door of this little shack, and there he's got a lamb in his hand. And he takes his hand and he pulls the neck of the head of that lamb back, pulls the wood away from the wool away from its neck. He takes out a knife, and there, as he stands over that little lamb, he slits that lamb's throat. And there his oldest son is standing beside him, as it were, with a little bowl there to catch the blood that pours forth from that little lamb. And in the bowl is a branch of hyssop. In the background of this picture, you can see all along this little roadway of these shacks, each father of the home is out and they're doing the same thing. The whole picture throughout the land is the same. Every family is doing the same thing. It's a scene, as it were, of this night of the Passover lamb. I want to leave four thoughts of you just as we close out our meeting this evening. And in this picture, in your mind's eye, I want you to see a picture of condemnation. There's a picture of death here, a picture of condemnation, because this little lamb is about to be slain. It reminds us that condemnation has gone out. A death sentence is about to be executed. Think of the words the Lord said, "I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn." And this is a death sentence from Almighty God himself, and it rests on every home in Egypt. For God has promised to deliver his people from the terrible bondage of the Egyptian slavery by killing the firstborn son of every home in Egypt. There's a terrible condemnation, but this is a just condemnation, because as you think of these people living in that environment, we think of the Egyptians, how they've brought this upon themselves. The punishment is a direct result of their sin. Even after all those years of the Israelites living in that land, for 400 years they've been brought into that land because of Joseph and how he brought about the saving the Egyptians from the famine. He brought in the 7 years of plenty and stored up and saved. He rose up to the position of prime minister, and the people were brought into the land. They were invited. Joseph's family were invited into the land of Egypt. But now 400 years has passed, and little by little over that time, the Egyptians have begun to enslave the Israelites. They're using them, as it were, just to build their cities and to make bricks and to treat them like slaves. They've even gone to the law of genocide by killing the children, throwing them into the river to be slain before their very eyes. So this was a just condemnation that God had brought upon the Egyptians. But not only that the Egyptians had brought this upon themselves by the way they treated God's people. God had given them many chances. We think of the plagues that God had sent, the frogs, the lice, turning the water into blood. Time and time again, God had called them to repentance. He gave them chance after chance to change, to repent of their wickedness. 9 times he sent these plagues, but 9 times Pharaoh hardened his heart more and more and more. Even in that, we have a picture tonight of the sinner. Because every time the gospel is preached, as it were, God is sending, in a sense, that spiritual sense, a plague. He's given a warning. He's warning the sinner. He's telling, judgment is coming. This is what will happen to you if you don't turn, if you don't repent. But just like Pharaoh, the sinner hardens the heart. Every time they reject the gospel, the heart becomes more hard. And as it were, it's like water of a duck's back to them. They take no notice of it. They've become hardened to the sound of God's voice, as it were. They turn their ear away from the gospel. But here God says, "I will bring one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt." And then he says, "After that, I will let you go." God said he's going to send one plague so terrible that when it is done, Pharaoh and the Egyptians would actually be glad for the Jews to leave. Not only that, but they would give them gold, they'll give them money, they'll beg them to leave the land and flee because of what God would bring upon the people. But here Pharaoh, in his stubborn pride, had brought this condemnation upon himself and upon his own people. Notice also, this was a universal condemnation. It wouldn't just happen to Pharaoh. It wasn't just the palace that was affected. It was everyone in the land, from the upper crust of society down to the lowest of society. Each one of them was under this condemnation. The death angel will visit the palace of the mighty Pharaoh and will visit the hovel of the lowly prisoner in Pharaoh's dungeon. All. Read that there in chapter 11 and the verse 5. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. Here, God said he'll bring even the wealthy landowner and the poor maidservant. They're all under this condemnation. They're all guilty. Again, we have a picture tonight of the sinner. Sometimes we get this mindset, oh, if I go to church, if I'm religious, well, then I'm okay. The sinners are those that are involved in drugs. Our brother Simon spoke about those broken homes, fathers in prison, and alcoholics, drug addicts, and so often we get that mindset. Those are sinners. We're okay. We walk on the good side of the broad road, as it were. We go to church. We're respectable people. But here, God said this condemnation is universal. Pharaoh, and even those that are in Pharaoh's prison, are under this condemnation. If the blood wasn't on the doorpost, it didn't matter if you're a righteous Egyptian. Didn't matter if you didn't support slavery, because we think of that in today's mindset, don't we? We hear about racism and slavery and all the rest. But even if you think back then, when having slavery was allowed, but if you were an Egyptian, said, I don't believe in slavery. I wouldn't keep the Israelites as slaves. I don't believe in that. I think that's wrong. It didn't matter. You're still under condemnation. It doesn't matter if you're self-righteous or good living or you've good morals, as it were. This universal condemnation fell upon all. And here we see that even a Jew might have said, well, I don't need to put the blood on the doorposts. That's for the Egyptians. I'm okay. That is only for those pagans, those that don't believe in our God. That's for them and them alone. But no, God said for his people to do this as well. God is going to deliver the Israelites, but before he does, they must put the blood upon the doorpost, because this death sentence was universal. Every Israelite, every Egyptian who would be saved would be saved by the blood of the Lamb and by the blood of the Lamb alone. And tonight, friend, each one of us were born under condemnation. From the youngest in this meeting to the oldest, we're under the judgment of God's sin. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter who we are or what we've done, we're all sinners. Again, we hear that. People don't like being called sinners. I live a good life. I've never stolen anything. I've never mistreated anyone. I'm a good living person. But the Bible makes it clear, there is none that doeth righteous, no, not one. There is no man that sinneth not. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. And that is where each one are found tonight. There's this universal condemnation upon mankind, each one from the youngest to the oldest. Imagine some of the reaction in Moses' day. The death angel coming to my house to kill my firstborn? No, it can't be. Not my house. No, sir, that couldn't happen. I have it all worked out with God. We have an arrangement. We hear today, don't we? Oh, when I get to heaven, I'll stand at the pearly gates and I'll say to Peter, I have done my good will outweigh my bad. And we hear that so often, even in Protestant circles. Those who should know the gospel and know God's word, but yet we come to this land, and our brothers mentioned it, that we have missionaries coming to this land to bring the gospel here. This is a darkened land we live in. The Bible says that he that believeth not is condemned already. Every home was under condemnation. And many tonight sit in this area that we worship in this community. And they think they're safe. They think they're fine. Totally unaware that they're under the condemnation of Almighty God. That is, if they believe in God at all. And those that do believe in God, they think, it's all worked out. It's okay. I'm doing what I can. I was listening to the radio this morning on the way into church, morning sequence, Sunday sequence, whatever it is, on the Sunday morning. And I think it was Reverend Cheryl Maybin. And her thought for the day, whatever it was about Sinead O'Connor. And then with Steve Stockman, the Presbyterian man, his was about Shane McGann. If you don't know those two, they're singers. They both died last year. And she talked about Sinead O'Connor, and she said about, you know, she's now at peace. And she ended her little talk by sleep at peace. This is a Protestant minister, so-called woman minister. Well, that's against God's word to start with, but this is what she thought. And Sinead O'Connor, who was an outright rebellious against God and against the gospel, is now at peace with God. And she spoke in glowing terms about Sinead O'Connor. She quoted a song and so forth. And this was her gospel message. This was her thought for the day for the people. And so many in this area, so many in this city, so many in this land, they think they sit in church and they think they're okay. And maybe tonight you're here and you think you're fine. You're in church. I believe God's word. I believe what you're saying. But friend, you're under condemnation. You can be sit quietly. You could sit proudly. You can sit unconcerned in your seat. But you sit a condemned soul. You sit a condemned soul. You see, it's not a case of someone else doing this for you. It was everyone was under condemnation. It was a universal condemnation. It was a personal condemnation. And something had to be done to deal with the sin. Notice secondly here, there's not any condemnation, but we have substitution in this passage, because as you gaze at that picture again, look back in your mind to that picture, and you have the eldest son standing beside the father, standing beside that little lamb who's about to be killed, and you have this substitution. Because that lamb is going to take the place of that boy. That lamb is going to die in behalf of that young boy, as it were, that child. And at midnight, that blood would be put upon the doorposts and upon the lintel, and the deaf angel would bypass that home because of substitution, because that lamb died in the place of that son. Can you imagine the scene? The shadows of the evening are closing in. And there is this father who has caught this innocent, pure, spotless lamb. By the lamb's side, this firstborn son, the condemnation of Almighty God rests upon this child. His only hope is for this lamb to be his substitute. This sacrificial act must be performed. The sharp knife flashes, the blood splurts, the jugular vein has been severed, the lamb is bleeding to death, the lamb struggles, as it were, then collapses to earth, and then bit by bit it stops breathing. That pure, innocent victim is lifeless, is slaughtered on behalf of this boy. And can you see in this picture tonight the picture of the cross? The Lord Jesus Christ, as he hangs there upon the cross of Calvary, as he breathes his final breath, as he suffers the wrath of Almighty God against sinners. And there we have this picture of this Passover lamb. 1 Peter 1 and 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. He took our place. He became our substitute. And there he hangs on the cross, the dying Lamb of God, bearing our sin in his own body, our guilt, our punishment. And he suffered the wrath of God on behalf of you and I tonight. And there he is. His head bowed, his body broken, lifeblood draining away, taking our place. For he hath made him to be sin for us, and you know sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We have this picture of substitution. But we also have a picture here, thirdly, of appropriation. Because this had to be taken hold of, this had to be applied, this had to be appropriated by the person, the father in the home as representative of the home. Action had to be taken place. This lamb to become the substitute, something had to be done. The father had to take the blood. It would be no good to slay the lamb and leave the blood in the bowl. He had to take the blood. He had to apply it to the doorposts. He had to do as God commanded. First of all, they kept the lamb for 4 days. A lamb after 10 days old, they had to look, check out for blemishes, any problems with it. It had to be a spotless lamb. It had to be perfect. It had to follow God's law perfectly. It had to follow God's command. And here, as that lamb is slain, and the blood is applied, we have a picture of the work of Christ and a picture of the sinner by faith looking to the cross of Calvary, looking to Christ, looking to the man on the middle tree and saying, I believe, I trust that as he gave his life that was in my place, that was sufficient to deal with my sin. That perfect Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, the spotless, sinless Son of God, dying in my place was sufficient, that God the Father was satisfied, and by faith I trust in him. I no longer trust in myself. I no longer trust in my church. I no longer trust in my good works. I trust in Christ and Christ alone, because he cried on the cross, it is finished. The work he came to do was a success. Therefore, I, as it were, in that spiritual sense, just in the physical sense, as that Father applied the blood to the doorpost, in that spiritual sense, as we trust in Christ, that blood is applied to our hearts to wash away our sin, to clean us, as it were, to wipe our hearts clean from the stain of sin that we're born with. See, finally, in this picture, a picture of celebration here. Because as you think of that picture again, it wasn't a gloomy scene. It was a happy scene. It is a happy scene that this family, as this lamb is shed, the blood is shed and this lamb is slaughtered, this is a happy scene. Because this picture is freedom from them. This is a time of celebration, because remember, they're in bondage. They're kept, as it were, in the chains of Pharaoh. And again, we have a picture of the sinner who are bound in sin. They're in the bondage or in that prison house of sin, captive by Satan, under his control. And as they continue on in that place, they'll end up in a lost sinner's hell. But here we have a picture of celebration. As the blood is caught in the pan, as the bunch of hyssop is dipped into that blood, and with the excitement, the blood is splattered on the lintel on the doorpost. The lamb is cut up, quickly roasted in the homes of this family. This is a celebration meal. This is something to be joyous, because they're no longer under condemnation. And so it is for the sinner tonight. When you come and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who read in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What a change. You think of those people living in that situation, in those circumstances, in bondage with the slave masters there with their whips day by day, and now they're going to be free. There's no fear here, there's no terror here, but rather a calm assurance based on God's word and the shed blood. The moment that blood was sprinkled on the doorpost, the firstborn was safe. This boy was rescued. This boy was redeemed. They'd be saved from the angel of death. Again, what a picture of the sinner. Because each one tonight, still under condemnation, are under condemnation of death. It's not a case of you'll do something down the line that will bring you into condemnation. The Bible says you're already. We're born under condemnation. God's word tells us that we're born in sin and shape and in iniquity. That's where we're born, from the youngest to the oldest. We're under condemnation. But here, as the blood is applied, there was celebration. There was freedom. They would go out that day as free men. They would go out that day happy. We sang it earlier. Happy. Life at best is very brief, like the falling off a leaf. And life is brief. And the death angel was about to cross that land. But there was freedom. And there was redemption. They were giving a new life, as it were. That old life was no longer there. They were set free from their past bondage. They were delivered. This is the gladdest, happiest, and most joyous day of celebration in their lives. And friend, tonight, can you see this picture? Here is the Lamb of God. Here is the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. We have celebrated Christmas. We have thought much about the birth of our Savior, the incarnation, the greatest gift ever. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And now here is the lovely Lord Jesus dying in our place. God's perfect substitute given for you. You received your Christmas present. Will you receive him tonight? John 1 and 12, but as many as received him, to him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you believe on his name tonight? You see, you too, as you gaze at this picture, I don't know if you see yourself in bondage. I don't know if you see yourself under condemnation. But if you ever want to be saved, if you ever want to go to heaven, if you ever want to have your sins dealt with, you have to see yourself, as it were, in this place of bondage, under condemnation, and justly so. They were here unjustly. We'll have to remember that. The Israelites, but you and I, that's different. We are justly under condemnation because we have broken God's law. We're sinners by nature. No one ever had to teach us to sin. From the youngest in the meeting, no one ever has to set them to one side and say, here's how you disobey parents, here's how you speak back to someone else, or here's how you're nasty. No one teaches us those things. They happen naturally because we're sinners, and if we continue that way, then we're lost. But the good news is we no longer have to remain under this condemnation. You too can be saved. You too can be rescued. You too can experience freedom, true freedom in Christ. Your sins can be covered by the blood, but you must come. Just as the blood was applied, the Passover lamb, the blood must be applied to your heart. You must repent. You must repent and you must believe the gospel. You must come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, I believe that I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to be punished, but I also believe that you died in my place. I also believe that you paid the price for my sin. I also believe that if I trust in you, that you're willing and able to save me to the uttermost. Give me a new life. Give me freedom. Friend, tonight, where do you stand with God? Are you still under condemnation? Are you still under the curse of sin? Tonight you can be ransomed. Tonight you can be redeemed. Tonight you can be forgiven. What a way to start 2024. No longer under condemnation. No longer found in the bondage of sin. But rather set free and given life, and life more abundant. The Lord said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundant. Will you come this evening? Will you repent of your sin and by faith trust in the Passover Lamb, precious Lord Jesus, perfect Lamb of God, who give us life, a ransom for the many? Well, you can have it tonight if you'll just come. Will you come? Trust the Lord will speak to your heart even this evening and draw you unto himself for his name's sake. Let's just come to the Lord, close our meeting in a word of prayer. Let's seek the Lord. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the lovely Lord Jesus. We thank you for the one who is willing to go to that old rugged cross. The one who is willing to bear our sin. The one who gave us life willingly, laid it down. And Father, we rejoice this evening in the hope that's found in the gospel. I realize there are many who are still bound in chains of sin. There may even be those in this meeting this evening who are trusting in themselves and their own self-righteousness, their own good works. There may be those who are trusting in their mother or father's salvation or someone else's salvation, hoping that it will be good enough for them. But Lord, just as each family had to apply the blood for themselves, so we realize that in the gospel, each one must come personally and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray you'll be pleased to speak on even as this meeting concludes. We thank you for our brother Simon, the report we heard. Pray you'll bless him, Lord, and his labours in Scotland. Bless the word, Lord, and bless our time of fellowship together. We thank you for the good things that have been provided for us. Lord, we pray even as we would meet together that we'll eat and drink to thy glory. And then at the end of the evening, bring us to our homes in safety. We pray, Lord, that the year 2024 will be a year of much blessing, a year of much growth, a year of trusting in thee, Lord, and serving thee and doing all we can, Lord, even in the furtherance of thy kingdom. So, Father, bless each one now. Keep your hand upon us for good. We pray and ask it all in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.